Well, the war is still on, etc. But were there any sporting and social activities taking place during that time?
There was a certain amount of sporting done, yes. There was a certain amount of sports organised by Jim Haynes. He arranged rugby matches, and I think he also arranged the cricket matches. I certainly played cricket for Fielding's at the beginning of the war against, not Sandhurst, Churchdown, that was RAF Churchdown.
Innsworth.
We played against Innsworth cricket during those years.
Lionel, you mentioned you left in 1943. What were the circumstances?
I left in 43 because I had already applied to go in the forces, and I had calling up papers, and I joined the Gloucesters at Colchester Barracks. I served time at Colchester Barracks, and then I went on to Bristol on an ACAC site, and then I left ACAC site and went up to Ayrtonness at Stromness on an ACAC site at outside there at can't think of any of the place, and I was up there for a time before I then got sent back home for leave. And then joined my regiment at Nottingham, and then we went over to by boat from Liverpool to Durban, whereby we then got transferred from Durban up to Tadikabir and joined the forces at North Africa. I then got transferred from North Africa to, I was sent to Israel. I did a stint in Israel, and then I joined Fifth Line of Communications in the Royal Electrical Mechanical Engineers at Shoiba, transferring to unloading tanks at Abadan, and we transferred the tanks from Abadan with Indian troops up to Azerbaijan for the Russian front, and that's where I got sent home and demobbed.
What a wonderful experience. And then, and so that was 1947, so then did you came back to Fielding at Platt then, did you?
Got demobbed then, and I can't quite remember when I come back.
When it come time to be demobbed then, Lionel, how did you get home?
My demob came through when I was in Basra. I travelled from Basra by train to Baghdad. I then travelled by coach across the desert to a place called Mafraq in Transjordan, and then we came by train from Mafraq down to Alexandria and across to Port Said, where we caught a demob boat on our way to Liverpool. But during this time, this boat broke down in the Mediterranean. We got towed into Malta. Some repairs were done to the boat, and we had a message saying that the boat would no longer go to Liverpool, it would go to Glasgow for repairs. We got into Glasgow, managed to avoid customs. caught a train that was waiting there and came all the way down to Leeds, where I was fitted out with my bowler hat and great suit in all the paraphernalia. And then caught my first train back down to Gloucester, where I was met and brought home. Yeah, God.
So it must have been pretty, having gone through all that experience, Lionel, all those countries abroad, from 43 to 47, things must have been pretty quiet back in Gloucester, mustn't they?
Very quiet when we got to Gloucester. I was due for a lot of leave because of my staying in what was known as Poi Force then, which was Iraq and Iran. And I was contacted by Bill Medis to come back to work. But I'm afraid that I think it was September before I came back into Fielding and Platts, and then commenced work with under the jurisdiction of Bill Meadows. And there was then a new works manager there, I think it was Parmenter. And there I spent most of my time doing what Bill Meadows wanted me to do, working with a heavy machine shop like Tom Walker was there. Tom Walker was foreman then, I think. Danny Wakefield was foreman upstairs. Perse Taylor. I was just trying to think who was a foreman in the fitting shop. Capener. Frank Capener. Valinder was foreman of the paddling shop. Bill Click, I think, was foreman.
Have things changed very much in those years that you were away?
Well, when I started there, of course, the main things were stone plants and oil engines. Well, of course, when I came back, it was mainly forging presses, stone plants, and extrusion presses. Of course, we had the, during that beginning of the war, we had, they developed this radio pump, didn't they? And the H3 pumps, Roy Pegler developed the H3 pump. I can't think of the fellow's name who developed the A2 radio pump.
Never mind. Were you doing, when you came back then, were you doing a similar job then before you went away?
Yeah, under Bill Meadows.
So you made sure that parts got to the right place at the right time?
Yes, we were responsible for the machine and bits and pieces, you know, the fitter. You know, as you built an extrusion press, you wanted the beds first, then you wanted the slides on the bed, and then you wanted the main cylinder, you wanted the rams and the diousing and all the paraphernalia. Well, they all had to be coordinated, and the bits of the studs and gland bushes and all had to be...
So whether it was a first-time erection at site or first-time erection in the factory, the job was a similar one then?
That's right. It all had to be coordinated, so each sort of, to the best of your ability, that they got to the right place at the right time.
Did you manage to travel away at all to any of those sites, Lionel?
Oh, yes, I went to McKechnie's. I went up to Rio Tinto Zinc with Bob Phelps and several of them. I went to Silver End down there. I travelled quite a bit, doing bits and pieces for the firm. Yes, I had quite a good time.
Looking back over all those years, Lionel, what do you consider would be your sort of finest achievement? Was there anything particular that sort of stood out at all?
Well, you had satisfaction in getting all bits and pieces at the right time. I can't say there's any individual one.
So I suppose you could put it in the fact that it was satisfaction of doing a good job for such a long time. Were there any sad moments, Lionel, while you were at Fieldings?
The saddest moment in my life was when I had to go into the fitting shop and make a fellow by the name of Jones redundant. He was he had a family of three young kids, and when I told him that he was going to be made redundant, he burst into tears, and that upset more, as far as I was concerned, than anything else that ever happened to me.
Okay, thank you. I know there's been a lot of similar experiences along the way, Lionel. What did you think of the management generally in all the years you were there?
In general, I mean, David Rawls, Jim Fielding, etc., were okay. I think Jim spent too much time away from the factory. And one of the worst decisions, I think, that was made was when Lindsay German was made managing director. He had no idea the product, whatever was produced at Fielding and Platt's. And consequently, things weren't done as they should have been done.
So basically, it was bad recruitment, really, on the part of higher management.
Yes, a lot of it, yes. Absolutely.
Okay, so you mentioned your opinion of the management. How about the workforce generally, Lionel? What do you think of them?
Excellent. Workforce in general were excellent. Absolutely top class journeymen, fitters, and Fielding and Platts had a reputation that if you did an apprenticeship at Fielding and Platts, you could get a job anywhere.
When did your time with the company come to an end, Lionel, and what were the conditions?
Redundancies. The firm did me extremely well because I was 64. I could have been kept on, but I should have lost any redundancy pay. So it was there and then that they agreed that I should be made redundant, so I get my redundancy pay. And to be fair to the firm, it was agreed that my pension should be paid by the firm till I was 65.
Right. What year was that, Lionel, that you actually 82. Left?
1982. January the 25th, 1982. And if you want something sad to follow that, my wife died in April 1982. And that broke my heart.
Oh dear.
But Diamond, you don't have to put that on.
Okay, a long career is at an end. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Lionel? Anything we talked about lots of things along the way in the last hour or so.
One little thing I shall always remember at Fielding and Platts. It was only because I was at Fielding and Platts. I'd left at a lunch hour on Good Friday. It was in the days when Fielding and Platts, all engineer works, worked Good Fridays. And I was walking up the street when there was a hell of a flurry of newsboys running down the streets. Mussolini had invaded Abyssinia. That stands out. I can see that now. It stands out in my mind as though it was yesterday. I don't know what year that was. 38? 37? 38? 38, was it? I don't know. But it stands out remarkably. You remember the Albion Hotel, South of Street, when they took the Skittle Alley from South of Street up to Northfield? No. Don't you remember that? Because Fielding, I think Fielding played up there, didn't they? Didn't the Fieldings play up there?
Didn't they play at the India House?
They played at Indian House, but did they ever play up at Northfield? I don't know. I just wonder where you remember the Talbot the hotel there. I've seen some funny things in my life. Talking about that, I mean, nothing to do with fielding, this isn't.
Carry on.
But I was coming down Westcote Street, and Hayne and Corrie had taken that hotel over, and they were backing a lorry in there, long trailer on there. And it was raining pretty gorgeous. And this little car came, I think it was Austin 7, I don't know, it was a small car anyway. And this lorry was out across the road, and of course, naturally, he applied his brakes. He didn't stop, and he went straight onto the bed of the lorry, because he's on oak blocks there. There was oak blocks those days. Do you remember the trams?
Yeah, oh no, not the trams, no. I can remember the lines in the road.
Yeah, well, the trams used to run up and down to Barons, as far as Hempstead Bridge, you know, at Tufty Avenue, and all the way up to Hocker Court. You don't remember the trams?
No, no.
Of course, I'm sorry, you're days, isn't it?
We're young people, though, compared with yourself. Did you travel on those trams at all?
Yes, of course, we travelled on the trams, yes.
Beautiful. So when you were cycling along Southgate Street, that was telling your dad to watch you didn't get your wheels into the tram lines then?
Yes, you couldn't do that. But as a kid, we used to get matchsticks. Put them in the water, used to run around there and watch it. She went round the rail fastest. You remember the cattle market? The old cattle market?
Yeah.
Where the bus station is now? Well, you could walk from there up as far as Coney Hill Lane. Do you remember, anybody remember them? You used to go all the back and up London Road, at the back of London Road, all the way up to Horton Road, down the other side of Horton Road, along by the brook, into Armscroft Road, over the railway line, along Joners Fields, into Barnwood Avenue, down Barnwood Avenue, across the bottom of the field, into Coney Hill Lane. Remember that?
I remember some of that, yeah. As far as the top of Northgate Street, yeah, but beyond that, no.
Yeah.
Did you have any experiences at all with animals being driven through the streets?
Oh, blimey, yes, I've driven many, many bunches of sheep through from Churchill. I used to help a farmer on a Saturday morning when I was at school. Used to get the sheep. Drive them all the way into, what is it, up South of Street, and then down North of Street into the market. Yeah. And cattle used to be driven in all sorts. Yeah.
Of course, that market was right adjacent to the Great Western Railway Station in
Lionel. Yes, right in front of the Great Western Railway Station, yes, yeah. Yeah.
Did you have any experience at all travelling by train?
Yes, I travelled by train to London with my auntie when I was a boy. And I think the fare was 12 and sixpence. 12 and sixpence then. That's for an adult. I don't know whether there was any reduction for... I was about 12, 14 then. Yeah.
That was back in the days of the Cheltenham Flyer, wasn't it?
That's right. That's when we used to put eightpence on the line to make them into pennies.
I've still got one at home.
I did, yeah, on the up at Armscroft Road. He used to put them on the line and get them into a penny.
Well, Lionel, I think we've used up a lot of your time, but we've been able to... We've been thrilled by all your tales of home and abroad, and at 96, I think your memory absolutely fantastic. If I go as long as you, I hope my memory will be just as good. Well, on behalf of Brian and myself, Lionel, thank you very, very much for your time and hospitality.